Hey everybody, it's your girl Jessie May. Another Sharp Tongue podcast is in your ear. I'm very excited for this week's episode. I'm excited for every episode because it means it's still going on. Speaking of excitement, shout out to Hakuna Supply, my sponsor and co-collaborator with all my dope stash box materials. Anything you need for your pot smoking life. We got a stash box with my face on it. We got a stash jar with my face on it. We also have grinders, Happy Weeds Day grinders. We have Blunty May box, like a whole stash box. Basically anything you need to hide whatever you want to hide. I'm not saying it's weed, but it could be weed or it could be, you know, just your valuables. Maybe your favorite dog sweater or a necklace your grandmother gave you or that pearl necklace your ex gave you. From before. It's a great company. They're very charitable, which is one of the reasons why I decided to partner up with them. A portion of their revenue from Hakuna Hemp Roast, which is their CBD infused coffee, which I have myself tried and it's delicious. A portion of that benefits homeless veterans in Southern California, as well as a portion of revenue from Humbart's Haze to benefit the World Wildlife Foundation. So they're benefiting homeless people and animals. They need more love. They have Hakuna Hemp Cafe, which is their coffee, which is so delicious, and which is really cool when you order any sort of merch from us, besides donating to veterans in Southern California and the World Wildlife Foundation, I am also giving a portion of everything that I sell to local Alzheimer's charities. So I'm very excited about that. I should be partnering up with Hilarity for Charity, Seth Rogen's charity this year. It's very, very exciting. And it feels good to give back, as dorky as that is. Honestly, it's the most rewarding feeling in the world. Other than that great poop in the morning, that first one. God, I've succeeded. I didn't need to say that. We don't need poop jokes right out the gate. One of the cool things when you order from Hakuna Supply is with every stash box, a unique seed paper packet is included. So it's like these sustainable packets that include this biodegradable circle paper loaded with some pine and spruce seeds for you guys to plant and cultivate. Who doesn't want to grow a tree with their kid? So while you're, you know, stashing your trees in my box, you can grow a tree with your family. And that's not sexual. Purely just experiential, not sexual. So enjoy that. And hakunasupply.com/Jessie May is where you're going to go to find your stash box, your stash jar, your grinders, your CBD infused coffee, waking you up and making you feel good. And also use code for 15% off Jessie May CBD at checkout. You can get 15% off your entire order. Isn't that sweet, y'all? Look, we're giving you a little bit of extra. We're giving back. We're keeping you awake. We're keeping you stashed. It doesn't get much better than that. Speaking of getting better, this episode is a swap cast from me and one of my new favorite people, Mr. Jamie Kilstein, his fucked up pod I was a guest of a couple weeks ago, and boy, is he fucked up. There's no truer title ever given to a human being. I love you, Jamie. We go deep. We go deep. It's basically an advice episode for anybody who's ever been in a relationship or tried to survive being in a relationship with somebody codependent, borderline personality disorder, any sort of unhealthy, needy, dependent relationship. This episode can help you sort of navigate the hell out of there. You got to grow up. Break all your bad habits and your bad patterns and become the person you were meant to become. That's what I got to say to you. So I hope you enjoy this episode. I'm going to be in Rochester, New York. Before we dive into this episode, how could I forget? Come see me live. Comedy on the Carlson, February 7th, 8th, and 9th. That's in Rochester, New York. Come see your girl. One night only, Tampa Improv, Valentine's Day. I will be there with bells on and a lot of red and tears. So come check me out one night only, Tampa Improv on Valentine's Day. I also am going to be in Japan the end of February for another USO tour. I'm very pumped up about And there's a bunch more dates coming up on my website, jessiemay.com. Check out all those tour dates. I'll be in Minnesota. I'll be in Phoenix. I will be in Edmonton. I'll be in Austin. A bunch of cities. jessiemay.com for all tour dates. Please come check me out. I'm a riot. You'll definitely learn and laugh. That's my goal. I want to make you feel good and I want you to laugh. This episode is a lot of fun. Very educational. Very emotional. And hopefully it'll help you evolve. This is my swap cast on the Fucked Up Pod with Mr. Jamie Kilstein. Sharp Tongue Podcast. Beep, 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 beep. You're listening to the Sharp Tongue Podcast. I'm your host, Jessie Mae Peluso.
It's a personal
look. Well, it's not really a look because it's a podcast. I'm already fucking this up.
This is kind of like a verbal comedy diary,
a deep look into the crevices of my mind. It's going to get dirty.
You might cry. You probably laugh. Hopefully you'll laugh. The whole point is for you to laugh, but you also might cry.
I talk about my family. I talk about farts. I talk about love, loss, comedy, how hard it is to make it in this biz. I'm a fucking professional. I talk about my dog sometimes. Each week it's something different. Sometimes I have a guest host. Sometimes it's going to be a movie companion episode. Sometimes I just ramble about the bullshit I dealt with the week before. You never know what you're going to get. It's raw, uncut, and funny. It's me.
Okay. Cool. We're doing it. Right now, Talib Kitty is skittish. He likes you, though.
I thought he was just licking his cat dick. Do cats have dicks?
So I literally just tweeted that the other day, where I tweeted something so aggressive, where I was just like, I haven't seen my cat's fucking dick, and it's going to, like, goddamn stay that way. Or, like, something like that, where my fat cat, New York, his little dick would come out every once in a while.
What does it look like? Is it hooked?
No, it was, like, a little pink. What did you think?
Because don't cats get stuck?
I don't know.
The male dick has barbs in it, and when it penetrates a female, it locks in.
Yeah. I mean, that's what my dick does.
I knew you were going to say that.
But metaphorically, in like a codependent way, it locks
in. Right, it's emotional. Yeah. It's an emotional locking.
It's not physical. I would never want to.
You anchor your soul.
Yeah. The second I go, dude, I have literally become...
I may have actually
said this to you. How I feel right now, like I have become like a woman from the 1920s, where like I like don't want to sleep with anyone until it's going to lead to like marriage and children.
Yeah.
And like I've
wanted to count.
Yeah, kind of. I think I'm just tired of like I'm just tired. I'm just fucking tired.
Yeah, well, you know, when you get to a certain age, experience level, you get tired of the bullshit.
I get tired
and you know yourself better.
Yes.
So you start cutting the fat out of your life.
So this is the first year I've ever done that.
That's
ever.
Great. How old are you?
36.
Me too. That's the perfect time, dude. It's the perfect time.
I feel like I've never said no until this year.
No is a great word.
Oh, it's the best.
I almost said no to you just to say it.
Just
to,
for
this podcast.
Yeah.
I like you too much.
Oh, thank you so much.
It's powerful.
It really is. Mm-hmm. And it's funny when... I'm sure you've had this experience when you get to like our age where you're like, oh, all that cliche advice I've ignored for literally decades is all true.
It's all true.
Like anytime someone was like, you have to find yourself before you find someone, I'm like, go fuck yourself.
You're like, shut up. How am I going to? I need someone to help me find somebody.
You're a dumb idiot.
Yeah. Who's going to help me find me?
Find someone to sit on my metaphorically burped dick and never leave me. But I mean, dude, the first one night stand I had, I thought I was fucking in love with her.
Yeah.
Instantly. I wrote her some like, oh my God. I wrote her some like sappy goodbye letter. Like,
by the way, that's like 60% of girls.
Every time I hear people be like, well, this is the problem with women, I'm like, oh, you're describing
like, that's me.
Yeah.
You just have a feminine forward personality.
I guess.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
No.
You just have to balance it out. Cause you know, I have a masculine forward personality.
Okay.
I'm like, ugh.
Are you saying that because you literally came to my door, tried to break in, and then started pressing a fart button on your book?
By the way, all true story.
Yeah.
What you just said
5 minutes ago. The only thing not manly, like you might as well have just like whipped your dick out and started jerking off. Like,
can I play the fart?
I mean, yeah. That's so real.
Yeah, and this is a good one.
So really quick, that's the sound effect on the book. But there's also words in the, like, what are the chapters like?
See, it's this great book. It's still going.
It is still going. And I don't know if it's broken or that.
That one's called The Aftershock.
Oh, I bet this person made $1 billion.
One of my fans sent this to me in the wake of my father passing because farts were always an ongoing joke between my dad and I. He loved fart jokes.
Yeah.
And someone sent me this, and they make children's books like this where each page correlates with a number on the side, and it's got this like little, you know, soundboard.
Yeah.
And so it's 10 pages, 10 fart noises, and you just read along and press the fart.
Why not? I just thought
you would enjoy seeing that.
I absolutely did.
It's Fart Friday, by the way.
I didn't expect it. Oh, that's why.
Happy Fart Friday.
Happy Fart Friday. Happy New Year. Happy Fart Friday.
But yeah, a lot of people get codependent in relationships. And I think codependency, I know there's probably a scientific, psychological explanation. But
that
in my mind,
won't get that.
It's like you're codependent outwardly because you haven't figured out how to be dependent inwardly.
100%.
Right?
That's what it is. And that's actually a really good way to phrase it too, where because that's what I realized, where I was codependent in relationships that weren't necessarily, I don't want to say not good relationships because I don't want to sound like an asshole, but like not right for me, not right for her. And I'm like, oh, I was just codependent because I didn't want to be alone.
Yeah, that's most people.
Yeah, where every bad relationship I got into, or everyone where I should have seen all of the red flags, mm-hmm. I was just fucking so excited to be there.
And making excuses.
Yeah.
How much fun are excuses?
Oh, they're the best.
Oh, they're not an asshole. They didn't get any sleep last night.
Yeah.
Oh, he didn't mean that.
Nope.
He hasn't had anything to eat. You start making excuses.
Or with me, it wasn't even excuses. It was either it's either my fault.
Yep.
Or I would be like, I'm going to fix it.
Yeah.
Where I'm like, oh, I'm going to be the one. Like, I haven't talked about this.
Talk about it. Let it out.
So I was dating this girl. Very briefly, like weeks.
So less than a month.
Maybe a week. And of course I was.
I like that you said weeks. And it went down to 6 minutes.
Like so fast.
You're like, I've never met her, but.
But I feel her.
I love her.
So much. And I knew it was trouble right away, but she was beautiful. She's beautiful. And I still have a little part of me that. You know, when a beautiful girl likes me, I think I'm like, this is
validates this.
Is a mistake. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay.
I'm like, you shouldn't be here, and I need to say yes.
What's wrong with me?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, I need to say yes because this is, you have not realized the error of your ways yet, and I'm going to jump on it, right? And so I find out she was like, she was a cam girl. Which, again, no judgment.
Is that one of the girls make money showing their bum holes?
Yeah.
They're, like, laying around their bed and they're flashing their cooter.
Yeah, it's her. That's
I need to sign up. Are they hiring?
That is, I mean, probably. Yeah.
Can I wear a mask?
I think they make good money. Like a Lucha Libre wrestling mask.
No, like a Donald Trump mask.
Oh.
Just like a unicorn.
I mean, that's disturbing. I mean, that's the most upsetting thing I've ever heard.
There's a market.
Yeah, I mean, there probably is, actually. On the internet, there probably is. And so...
Nacho Libre.
So she... We went from...
Snacho Libre.
Snacho Libre.
That
can be a wrestling name. we went from... Like, we had this, like, really, like, you know, kind of heavy night. And it was great. And then the next day, she wrote me what seemed like a form letter. It seemed like a, like, sort of, like, Dear Sir or Madam, where it was just over text. Like, I have thought about it, and I do not want to date someone who lives... far away, like, again, like, thank you for your time and consideration. We're going with other options. Like, it was just like,
that's really nice.
It was like very formal. And I was like, do you want to talk on the phone? And she was like, no. And I was like, okay. And I was like, well, I really wish you well. And like, you're great and you're talented. And I hope this works out for you. And she was like, it was literally like best of luck to you or like something that sounded like I got like rejected from like a fucking job. And so I told my, I told my buddy that. And I also, I don't know her past. Like, every once in a while, she'd say something about her past. And, like, I'm not a jealous guy anymore. I used to be when I was, like, younger. But, like, every once in a while, she'd say something that I'm like, oh, this goes deep.
Like what?
You're going to break me. Like, I don't know.
In the week span, first of all, how much time? And not like my calendar's chock full, but how much time do you have to spend with somebody in a week out here in LA? I mean, we're all grinding and spending at least four of those days in your car, going to and fro.
She just has to fucking show her butthole in bed. Yeah. So she has a lot of free time, and then I have free time.
Yeah.
And so...
you guys got deep?
Yeah, we got deep. And my friend was like, are you okay? And I was like, sad just because rejection sucks. But also, I think I knew deep down that I was like, if I stay in this, you're going to break me.
Like, what would she say?
She's going to break me. Like, the fact that it was like so short... And she very politely sent me a text. At first, I was like, that kind of sucks. But also, if it didn't go down this way, and like it was six, like she's the kind of girl who I would have like fallen in love with, and then she secretly becomes an escort. Like it was
or
like,
a man.
Yeah. Like it was something where if it didn't end this way, it was going to end like tragically. Yeah,
you get like a blooming onion grown out of your bunghole.
Dude, yes.
From like some horrible venereal disease.
There is absolutely a market for that, by the way. have you ever had a moment with a guy where like, We were listening to music. It was really cool. I haven't like listened to music with someone in so long.
That's great.
And we were like playing each other songs, and I remember I was downloading the song she was playing me, and I just had this moment where I was like, "Yeah, this is gonna hurt me later." Like,
what song was it? Like Four Non Blondes? What's going on?
No, although I do have a very strong connection to that song.
I love that song. Or I'm gonna fuck you like an animal.
Oh, there. Have you ever seen Sense8 on Netflix?
No.
There was a montage to. The Four Non Blondes song.
Wow.
It's a sci-fi show. Taking completely out of context, the montage means nothing. But if you're in the show, it's like very like sweet and romantic and whatever.
Is it a good show? Because I've seen the...
The first season was.
They always fall off.
Yeah,
man.
I know.
They very rarely Black Mirror that.
So wait, I didn't want to talk to you about relationships because when I did your podcast, we talked so much about
relationships. We can talk about whatever the F you want. Kilstein, okay, so this is your pod.
Okay, so you have to give me advice. So I met a girl that I actually like.
Oh, son of a bitch. This is already going to end treacherously. Go ahead.
But She's different.
I mean, they're all different.
No, but this one, I was like...
Is she different because... Okay, go. I need more details.
Okay, so the...
Where'd you meet?
So the other ones, I was like... The other ones, I was like, this is cool. I like them. Not gonna work.
Right.
Like...
There's always a but.
Yeah. And I've also been like... Even girls I've hooked up with, like, I've said no to like a bunch of sex like recently because I'm like
humble brag.
Yeah, right. But I'm like, but more just because I'm like, I don't,
well, where you're at, you're not looking to just smash and dash.
And I also like I have done that.
Right.
Like, I have done that.
And you know what that is. You know
no,
what that entails.
It sucks
and it's,
for them.
It's sugar
it
for
sucks
your soul.
For me.
It's sugar for your soul. Yes. It's a quick fix.
And but the few that something's happened, I've known. I'm like, this isn't gonna go
anywhere. Right.
Like this is. This is temporary, but it's making both of us feel good, so whatever.
Let's just go with it. So what's different with this chick?
Well, so like...
She speaks Spanish or something?
That's all I've ever been looking for. I just keep walking up
Does
to people going,
English?
Me amo Jamie, and then no one understands me. And this,
me encanta.
And this girl showed me where the biblioteca was, and I was like, marry me, I love you. No, it was a fucking app, and I was going to delete my fucking apps.
They work for people.
Yeah, and I
use them for free dinners.
That's lunches. That's the move. And breakfast.
That's the move. Yeah,
that is the move. I've just been like verbally trashing these apps for like a very, especially recently, and I just met this girl. Like I just like it was on Hinge, which is like classier Tinder.
Yes, it is.
And
classier Tinder.
I did get rid of Raya. Have you been on Raya?
Raya? Is it the celebrity
like
one?
Yeah.
I didn't get accepted.
I was on a wait list for a very long time. And
God.
Then I had someone wildly famous recommend me. And then I think they realized I wasn't
rude.
Yeah,
I'm going to hit up Carrot Top and be like, yo.
Dude,
no, I have a man now.
Hook
so
it up. Do you?
Yeah.
Since we met?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. But, well, not since we met. I've been with him for, let's see. I can't do time well. We've
that's
been together
right.
for a hot minute.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Amazing.
Cool. Comic.
Healthy. Hell no.
Yeah. The second you said healthy, I was trying to retract the question.
Gross.
Yeah. Ugh, cool.
I mean, not gross. I love comedians,
but gross.
We don't mix.
We're broken.
Yes, we're so broken.
I only dated a comic once, and I was like, because I just had this romantic image of us like in the morning waking up,
just
and, like,
working on
writing
your bits,
yeah,
and
like,
laughing and supporting each other.
No, gross. Yeah, it's not that.
Yeah,
at
you're
all.
Like, you got that gig?
Yeah.
Who booked you?
Can I
get an email?
Why do you hate me? yeah, so bad. But so,
how long ago did you meet this chick?
Last night.
Jesus, son of a bitch. Okay.
Your reactions are
I want
so
you.
Genuine. Your reactions are like my family. Like they're like my family. My family. I'm not telling about this girl because I.
This is a podcast that will be broadcast.
Yeah, they don't,
do you know
they
how
don't
this works?
Me.
They don't.
No, of course
okay,
they don't.
Okay. Well, there's ground zero.
But they certainly don't listen.
They should.
I know.
You should send this to them.
Just
I'm telling you to send this. You shouldn't even post it. You should just send it to your family members and tell them how unsupportive they are. Rude. Rude. Your mom and dad?
Yeah. I mean, no, my dad has listened. My dad's actually listened a bunch.
That's good.
Yeah.
What about your mom? Was she busy making coffee and croissants? What's she doing?
I mean, if by coffee and croissants, you mean like alcohol and sad phone calls. She's better now. She's fine. We're in a good spell. We're good.
Oh my God.
So we met last night. We met last night. I told my friend Thomas, who you just met, I told him, I go, no more dating for me. And we last night were gonna I don't smoke weed that much. But I was like, I got these little weed things I like.
What weed things? You say things like a pen or like a
edible? No, like a little pill thing. But it's weird. I originally got it for CBD, which I know is way like not as strong, but these affect me like an edible. Like if I have one of these like little pill things, I'll show you afterwards.
Well, yeah. Anytime you ingest it, you're definitely going to have an edible. That's basically an edible. You're
right.
Eating it.
That's what it feels
like. Is there CBD?
There's CBD in it, but I think there's a high level of THC. I'm going to show
so
you.
It's,
just
so it's
you
marijuana
based. Total
it's cannabis, yeah. not.
So we were going to do that and like watch like the new Bill Hicks special. Oh. Yeah. Set the Sensei montage. And then I just got home and he just like got it. I just had this crazy look in my eye. I'm like, there's a girl and I can't explain it and I'm going to go. And he was like, yep. Where we just talked really like.
Easy convo.
Super easy. And also I was like, hey, like I don't want to be too bold, but like.
Do you want to get married?
Marry me. Don't ever leave. I was like, let's
great
just,
book title.
Yeah, don't ever leave.
Marry me, don't
marry
ever
me,
leave.
Don't ever, that's so funny.
Seriously, you should write your experiences. That's funny,
I know,
Kilstein.
There was this ongoing joke in my brother got married and we all went to Italy. And my mom and my brother kept making fun of me because every girl I saw, I was just like, oh, my heart. And they just
were you genuinely saying that or joking?
No, I was very, very earnestly.
Italian women are beautiful.
Yeah, and we just had this.
They smell like sauce.
I really like the fashion in the UK and Europe.
Oh, it's so cool. It's just
casual. Yes,
it's casually stylistic.
Yes, yes.
Like they threw it on, but they look like they walked off of a magazine shoot.
Yeah, that's how the girl from last night dressed too.
Oh, damn it! Is she American?
Yeah. She's actually from like 10 minutes from where I grew up.
That's random.
And we didn't know that until we started talking. And then
your cat's eating a rug.
He's going crazy. He's trying to like get himself
cat
under
is, like,
the rug.
He's literally shocking himself with his own paw. This is why you can't trust cats.
I know.
They're like, look, I'm so dumb. And then they suck your soul out at night.
Sweet, sweet Talib. Oh, yeah. I still have to tell you the Talib story.
But, you do.
But fucking...
Easy conversation.
Yeah,
you guys live near the same place.
I really, like, I had this like... inclination where I really wanted to be like, do you want to go like walk on the beach? But that sounds so cliche. So I was like, hey, let's just hang out tonight instead of like and get the fuck off a dating app. And she was like, I really want to go like walk on the beach. And I was like, God damn it.
Whoa.
God damn it. And so I was like, I literally was going to ask you that, but I didn't want to seem like a fucking cliche. And we like, pull up in Venice at the same time, like across the street from each other.
I like that you guys came separate. That's very 2019 of her.
Immediately, like, knows each other. And, dude, I have never felt more comfortable in my life right away. And we just kind of walk, like, not arm in arm, but, like, shoulder touchy. Like, onto the beach as the sun is, like, set. It's, like, the most beautiful fucking sunset. We sit on, like, this like, huge hill of sand on Venice. And we just start talking and stuff. And there's part
of
me that I'm
sand.
Like, yeah, I know.
You mean the sand dune?
The sand dune, sure. It was. I'm trying to make everything sound
food.
Much more majestic.
Okay, Anchorman.
A hill made of sand. like I constructed it for her. And so, and then we just, like, we got dinner. She's really
would you eat?
Funny. We went to, we have fish tacos.
Good
and,
cuisine.
And we sat there for like 2 hours. She doesn't drink much. So like I had a beer.
That's
she had like
bonus.
One glass of wine. Such a bonus.
You don't want to rip shit hot mess.
I've been dealing with that. Such a fucking bonus. And because I also want to drink less, but I don't have the will. Like if I'm with
a
girl.
Yeah, it's just when in Rome.
Yep.
Suck them down.
And so then afterwards, we just... like we walked the entire beach and it was empty. We were just in these like backyards of mansions that were sand. And
so
like,
you were breaking and entering.
We're on the run. She's coming out. She's getting a new passport today. And a disguise.
It's healthy.
Yeah.
So we're married.
And now,
I'm just figuring out what the future holds.
If you hear a knock on the door, we have to go out the window.
Bonnie and Clyde, 2019.
Oh, God, that's actually my dream. Well, we talked about, did you ever see True Romance?
Yeah.
Yeah, we talked about like that.
I mean,
I know.
Romanticizing criminalism.
It's my heart.
It's hot.
It's my heart. Yeah. We talked about that at dinner because of course we did. And we have everything in common. Like,
of course you do.
But like also like where we are in our lives are like they mimic each other. Just in like it's so.
What does she do?
To the she does like.
If you tell me she's like a painter, I'm going to walk into traffic.
I mean, kind of.
Oh, God.
No, she
does. She make dream catchers that girls put above their beds?
I mean, she paints them. She paints dream catchers.
Are you kidding?
Yes, I'm
kidding.
Oh,
God, I'm going to walk off of your balcony.
That was like a clever callback. So here's my favorite part is all we did was we just started like holding hands before we even kissed because it just felt so right.
That's so cute.
But you could also tell like both of us like, desperately are trying to like take it slowly.
Yeah.
I shouldn't be talking about this, but like.
Why not? It's a life.
I know.
You think it's going to scare her away? You think she supports you?
Yeah. So like, as a wife would.
As your new murder wife.
I know. So then we were like, we were on the water and I was like, this is where I should kiss her. But I'm also like, we just met. And it was, dude, it was so, here's what it felt like. Do you remember when you were, when I was a kid and I was super unpopular in high school and my life sucked and then I went on vacation and suddenly I'm in this like new place that seems like it's like filled with possibilities because it did not seem like we were in LA. It certainly didn't seem we met on
You were in Venice.
Yeah, but like all the way at the end. Again, yeah. Totally
and when
empty.
It's empty, you do feel like you're like in some sort of movie.
Yeah,
it's
that's
beautiful.
What it felt like.
And foggy. Yeah, it's quite foggy.
And like we walked out like onto the water. There's like this pier thing. And, but I was like, don't kiss her. But also I was like, this is perfect. And so she made me feel like when I would meet a girl, like when I was 16 on vacation, where I'm like, suddenly I can be like cool or I can be, I don't know. It just all seemed very like, yeah, like a
like
movie.
New.
Yeah. And so, so we're holding hands and I was like, I should kiss her. Cause we're walking off the pier and I'm like, I kind of want to kiss her by the water. But I was like, I can't. And then I saw her do like the kind of smile and look away. And like I did the smile and look away.
Oh,
and then
so cute.
She kind of stopped. And then literally, here's the romantic line I said before I kissed her. I just went, God damn it. And then we did. And it was fucking perfect.
Aww.
And then right away, like right after we did that, she like kind of like put my arms around her. And we just like walked back that whole way and like occasionally stopped. And then we ended up like back on the same like hill made of sand. Like we didn't even notice that we walked there. We just ended up in the sand and she's like, this is where it started. And I was like, fuck. And then like all these like little ridiculous things happened. Like when we were first there, there was like,
this is where what started? The walk?
Yeah, like our date originally, it's like midnight now, but it started at like 5.
Okay, I was like Jesus, five. Something else happened? Yeah. Did you guys really like get into some breaking and entering? This is where we started.
I know. Yeah,
right here,
yeah.
We started breaking into the backyard.
There's the first glass we broke.
This is where the criminal activity began.
The crying old lady, we stole her. yeah, and it was just like so wonderful. So anyway, so now this is one where I'm like, I don't want to fuck this up.
Well, you got to go slow.
How do you, that was my question.
You stay busy.
How?
But you stay busy.
While telling her I love her.
No.
Okay. All right. Okay. Okay. Cool. Because when we first, before we knew anything was going to happen, we both talked about how we want something slow.
Yeah.
And
that's what two people who are about to take it fast say. That's what two people who are on a straight track to divorce lawyers say.
But like,
if you want to do it, you don't say it. But it's new.
Right. Okay. So I go to Toronto. I'm doing like the speaking thing. So I go to Toronto tomorrow.
Good.
We might see each other tonight. But she also like she works all day and she may be like beat. And of course, I'm just like, I can bring you food if you want. And like, just
wait, but what does she do? We never solve that.
It's fine.
Okay, you don't want to tell me.
Make fun of it.
Okay, I won't. What if I say this is one thing I won't make fun of?
I think it's cool.
Okay. I won't make fun of
you're
it.
You're going to make fun of it.
I'll pinky swear.
I'll tell you after, but I'll still...
Okay, you don't want to tell me online. Okay.
Answer. She's a camp girl.
I swear to God.
No. It's the opposite.
I will throw Talib Kweli, Kitty, off of your balcony.
I will literally murder you.
I'll murder your pussy.
Here's what I actually really love this about her, where she does have, like, the West Coast, very, like, hippie energy, positive vibe thing. But she's fucking East Coast. Mm. So she's still just like fucking
real,
like gritty and funny.
Down to earth,
and
tough.
Like, yes, totally.
Yeah.
And I think
that's cool.
That's what I've been looking for.
Yeah. Independent.
Yes, so independent. And that's what she's like literally what I've been describing to my friends. That I'm like, man, she doesn't exist. But like, this is what I want. So, of course, we already texted this morning. And we were thinking about each other. Super cool. But so if we don't hang out tonight. So what is playing it slow? Because I don't want to fuck this up.
Playing it slow is recognizing your past pattern of going way too fast and doing a quarter of that.
All right.
Because
can you be – I literally need specifics.
Wait.
Like you need to be like, here's how
I'm
much –
I'm allergic to codependency. Hold on. I'm just kidding. We've all been there.
That's right. Right away I was just like, let me help you. I'll get you tissues and I'll take care of you.
There's a fine balance to be had because in one breath you just kind of want to let go, reckless abandon, and just give in to your urges and your desires.
And by the way, half of that is romantic. This is if
half
I'm being honest.
Half of that is romantic.
But the other half is like
is unhealthy.
I don't want you to leave. What
right.
if there's another guy? What
right.
if there's and I'm like, I don't want this thing to go away. And actually what I told my friend this morning was, and this is true, last night was honestly like so ridiculously magical and awesome. Even if I don't see this girl again, I would be like, obviously, super sad. But I'm like, that was just a night to remind me that I'm like, I still love Los Angeles. I still have the potential to like meet someone really cool. And,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
The apps aren't trash. It's your perspective
yeah.
that becomes trash.
And so I'm trying to like settle. Okay, so go out a fourth of that.
I think, you know.
Like map out a timeline for me. So I know. Like,
so a timeline is don't text this like before you wake up, like right. meaning right when you wake up, your fingers are on the phone.
So
take a minute for yourself.
I did that.
You need to before. This is my advice for releasing the codependent history.
Yeah,
because I've been there.
Yeah,
before you do something for her, i.e., text, call, whatever it is,
yeah.
make a plan in your mind.
Propose.
You need to do something for you that you like.
I like
you need
that
to fulfill
I like that
you.
So much. That's such good advice. I've never heard that. That's
well,
such good advice.
Because I think the problem with recognizing codependency is your intention.
Right.
So obviously when you're codependent, your intention is to get love.
Yeah.
And you're getting love externally.
Yeah.
You need to reprogram your brain to get it internally from yourself. So if you do something that you love, you're going to feel great, whether it's reading, whether it's, I don't know, doing 50 push-ups because you're mad yoked right now.
Yo, I can't believe you said that. That made me so happy.
Yeah. That's you look like you're leading chest forward. Like you have good posture
this
right
is
now.
Very new
I'm very proud
me.
Of
this
you.
This is very new.
And that's
me.
Something, that's an example of releasing that codependent yeah. history.
Well, and I got to say, like, that is what I did. Like, I mean, that advice is so good. But I really think with – and I did that this morning. Like, I still texted her first because I knew I was going to. But, like, I waited till noon. I
that's
went to
okay
because
it's her first date.
I read. Yeah.
That's
and I,
fine.
And
that's unique. That's
and also she
thing.
Kind of brought up that, like, we might hang out today. So I just wanted to be like, hey, like, low-key, no pressure. But,
right.
Like, if we do, like, I found her, like – she's like gluten free and shit, so like I found like a restaurant that like caters to that. Like
that's
near
nice.
Her.
That's thoughtful.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And you know, and she was really cute.
You're just gonna
about...
serve her biscuits. You
yeah.
just show up and you're feeding her through her mail slot.
Yeah, yeah,
I don't know
yeah.
if she has a mail slot, but just imagine your fingers
does.
Going right through with a little gluten free Triscuit.
Yep. and so I have been doing that. I think with this one, I think with her, it's really not a codependency thing. It is a legitimate excitement thing, but. Because that the things you can do, those can mirror each other.
Yeah.
That I'm trying to just be like super cautious.
Well, everybody does that though in all relationships.
I think so.
When you meet somebody, one of my friends, really funny comedian from East Coast, Marty Caproni, he's got this joke about when you first get together, you're like, "Do you love pizza? I love pizza. Do you love music? I love music."
Yeah.
Like we all do
yeah,
that.
Yeah, of course.
So there's nothing. Don't overthink that. I think it just it comes into. A dangerous territory when you start using it to soothe yourself.
Right.
you have to learn how to self-soothe.
Yeah, being like, this will fix everything.
Right, and if you're, you know, like, you're going to someone else to fulfill what you need internally. That's the main thing.
Yeah.
And just doing what you need to get your mind right.
Yeah, well, this is why,
getting to know her.
Yeah, and this is why I've been saying, like, no a lot to people. Because I'm like, oh, I actually am happy now.
Yeah.
I would rather, like, be with Talib or Reed or be at the gym or wrestle or whatever.
Right. And that's a step in the right direction. You saying no, because what you're doing is you're like, nah, I don't want any of this negativity.
Yeah.
Because I know what it does
and
to
also,
me.
And also, I have standards and kind of non-negotiables now, which I've never had.
That's great.
But the problem is she's everything.
That's not a problem. Well, you also have to keep your eyes open.
Right.
You have to keep your eyes open. You have to keep that third eye open on the situation. And that's not to, like, interrogate her like NCIS.
Yeah.
And put a light on her face and be like, have you ever murdered anybody?
She's like, this is my second date.
I think there's a safe balance between getting to know somebody and also providing yourself some time to take care of what you need to take care of.
Yeah. So, again, this is such good advice. I need a fucking... Okay. So...
There is no timeline.
So, let's say we don't hang out tonight.
You're setting yourself up for failure.
Thank God I'm in Toronto this weekend. Because I can actually
Because
I can play it cool.
Yes.
Because I'm forced to.
Yes.
She's probably...
And you have to find ways to do that.
Buy her a ticket. Probably frequent flyer miles.
No,
that's one way.
No.
Just my savings.
No.
All right. Fine.
You know, when you go to reach out, when you... In your not even reaching out to her, when you're thinking about her,
yeah,
in your mind, you should be asking yourself, you know, when you think about her and feel a certain way, why am I feeling this way? Is it because I'm lonely right now? Is it because I'm feeling shit about myself? Is it because
it was like a legit connection at the right time.
And that's good and beautiful,
and you
deserve that
shit.
You just also need to, like, honor yourself first, because you're going to be useless to anybody else.
Right. Right.
You know?
I like that so much. Okay. Let's talk about comedy. I like that so much.
Do you still need a timeline?
Yeah. So, like...
Let's
say we don't hang out tonight.
Yeah.
Number one, don't be super sad.
Don't be super sad.
She texted me and said she was thinking about me.
That's great.
So, we're in a good place, right?
And you don't always have to say, oh, me too. You don't always have to reciprocate.
Oh, no. I said it first.
But
let's be very clear about that.
What I'm saying is, like... You shouldn't be doing and saying things with expectations. You should be doing
right.
and saying because you feel it.
I got to say, everything, and this actually makes me feel really good, even though I'm like being hard on myself. Everything you've said, like advice-wise and stuff, is what is happening right now.
Yeah, that's great.
I just like, again, I'm trying to like temper back that excitement because I don't want that excitement to read as moving too fast.
I don't think you should. It's not the excitement that's the problem. It's the intention. Your excitement is totally fine, but where is it coming from? That's what you have to ask yourself. And I'm not having you answer it right now.
Yeah.
I'm just saying excitement is totally normal and healthy and great. You're releasing endorphins. You're feeling good about yourself.
Sure.
You're going to have a pep in your step. You're not going to murder motherfuckers out in these streets.
No.
You just have to ask yourself what the intention to that excitement is. Yeah. Is it I'm excited because now I'm not alone? Or is it I'm excited because this person's really cool and they make me feel good?
Yeah, that's what it is. And I want to like learn more about her and I want to spend more time.
And pick out a ring in Toronto.
Like, yeah, of course. Oh, yeah, we probably could get married
ask
there.
Her ring size. If we get married in Canada.
We're by Niagara Falls.
I'm not codependent in Canada.
Yeah,
I mean, I'll just be codependent in Canada. That's where you stay codependent.
Oh, that'd be great.
And you stay chill in LA.
Yeah. But we'll never come back here.
That's fine. That's your second memoir book. You're going to be successful.
I love it.
Codependent in Canada.
The
follow-up to I Love You, Marry Me.
I Love You, Marry Me.
I'm telling
nice
you.
Nice to meet you, Marry Me.
So
that's what my brothers kept saying.
That's so good. Nice to meet you, Marry Me.
Nice
that's
to meet
so
you,
good.
Marry Me. That's what my brother and mom, when we were in Italy, kept saying. Anytime they'd see me look at a girl, they would just go, marry me. Like that's in this dumb Italian accent.
That's great.
I
love that they support your codependent issues, but not your fucking podcast.
No,
I want to go to their house and have a conversation.
They're deeper. Okay. So I'm so curious. When we were on your podcast, and I was on your podcast, we started to talk about like industry bullshit, and we were like, we're going to talk about that next time.
Yeah.
But here's the thing, like, me and you became friends where I'm like, I wasn't really familiar with your stand-up.
Yeah.
I knew you as like an online person.
Yep.
And so, like, digging in has been like really cool. But so, I mean, I guess for people who don't, I'm like, try not to ask cliche comedy questions, but all I want to do is like talk about comedy.
You can ask me anything.
Well, how about this? Instead of the like, where did you start? When did you, how are you feeling right now? Like with your comedy, with where you're at, either artistically, either like career wise.
I'm feeling settled and I'm feeling centered and calm. I've never felt that way performing ever.
That's huge. How long have you been headlining?
What year is this? 2019?
Yeah.
7 years?
Okay.
About six,
interesting.
Seven?
So 7 years into headlining, you're starting to feel calm.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And it's not that I don't have that excitement in, you know, pre-stage anxieties. I still have those, but they're harnessed a little bit more. I think I've just been humbled the fuck by life.
Yeah.
After losing my dad and going through that year. And,
yeah.
And, you know, we talked about my previous relationship, which ended in a restraining order on Valentine's Day.
Yeah, yeah,
3
yeah.
years ago. Almost this I have to get a re-up. Shit. Yeah. I got to get a re-up.
I bet you could probably figure out a way to see him if you really Oh, you got the restraining order.
I get it.
I was like, we can work something out. Me and my wife can help you break in.
Yeah,
we
you now, and your we're Canadian now, wife will teach me the art.
We know how to break into rich people's
houses.
Yeah. Me and my Canadian
that's
wife.
Amazing.
Oh, so funny.
Yeah, I just had a bunch of consecutive years of being humbled by life experiences. And I now, after losing my past codependent life and releasing that and losing my father and, you know, just a couple of the personal things that happened, you sort of find this inner calm.
Well, to give you credit, because I was actually talking
about, I'm going to lose it.
Yeah. So that's where I was going to give, you credit. Where when I was talking to her last night, I was not using her name just because I feel like I don't want, unless I tell her. But like when I was talking to her last night, I said something like, have you ever been on a date and you say something like so incredible that you're like, who the fuck said that? Like where I was like, what's happening? I'm like becoming the man I've always wanted. And it like hit her really hard. Like it was about her, like what she's going through. And it hit her like pretty hard. And she complimented it.
That's nice.
Oh, it was great. I mean,
somebody who compliments somebody. That's rare.
We got so deep so fast. And it was like, this is like comfortability and I think familiarity that I still can't pin.
That's you know, sometimes you meet people and, you know, we're essentially outside of this physical body, we're energy.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you walk into a room, you can kind of feel, I'm sure like when you've performed or in an apartment, you feel the energy.
Yeah.
And there's an exchange that happens
when
you meet somebody like
that. You became friends.
Yeah,
we're
friends.
Yeah.
Seriously, when we met, we're just like, boop.
Zoop.
Just kind of like, nip.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
And so it was that. And I remember when she complimented, like not to deflect the compliment, which I do, but I was like, look, this isn't because.
You just said doo-doo.
I know. I'll do it.
I just had to do it. Oh, that's a long one.
You
okay.
Did the long one.
Sorry.
we have to wait.
we got to wait for the fart to pass.
Sorry, guys. But like, I said the same thing you did. I was like, it's not because I'm like fucking, like I just read a bunch of books or I was like educated on like, you know, cycle and whatever. It's literally same thing.
Yeah.
I went through so much shit.
And you have to.
Yeah. But you have that. And it's so humbling where you have this moment. You do have this moment, though, where, I mean, mine was literally like, I'm going to kill myself, like Googling how to do it. Or I'm going to try to become like the best man I've ever been. Or,
yeah.
Or the best
those are
person.
The options in life.
And that's it.
For a lot of people.
Yeah. But like, dude, I don't know. Like, again, give yourself credit because I'm learning to give myself credit where it's. The path you went on, it's still not an easy one.
Like, it's right, and I try
still,
to tell myself
you
that
get
I'm
attention,
still in it.
You get validation from depression. You get all of this. I mean, that was my old life. Is all of my validation came from me just like bitching, and just being like a sad sack, and just being like nothing good ever happens. And so to like take ownership and be like, hey, I'm gonna use all of that. Really tragic shit to make me better and to make me stronger and to like even work harder. Like, ooh, like that's
it's scary.
That's so scary, but it's a big deal. But also, you feel invincible.
You do.
Because you're
you
like,
really
if
do.
I went through that shit, like,
I'm not broken and in the street, you know,
and you're going to have moments and I have moments.
Yes.
But you're going to know you can get out of them.
You're
going to
know there's a light at the end of that dark tunnel. And you see these people in the streets, just turning the corner right down here in Wilshire, somebody out in the street with no pants screaming out into the ether, and you get it.
Yeah.
You're like,
I was a couple steps away from that.
We're all a moment away from losing our shit.
Yeah.
And breaking through to that other side.
Yep.
But you can break through and come back. And it's like, some of the greatest advice I've gotten from people going through this experience, you know, and from like really great people, like Whitney reached out to me.
Yeah.
Rogan, you know, just a couple like these people who are so busy. They don't even need to show me any moment.
Joe, when my life erupted, was one of the only people who reached out to me, and none of my like progressive friend circle did. And like Joe did like right away.
And I think they, because they got to where they are, not by not going through some shit.
Yeah.
The greatest advice I've gotten from all my friends is to be gentle with yourself.
Yeah.
And to give yourself credit.
Yeah.
Because we're so hard.
Yeah.
We're so hard on ourselves. It's never going to get better. I'm shit. I deserve this. And why did I make this happen?
Yep.
It's okay to take a moment and just be like, all right, the shit has hit the fan. I don't have any cleaning supplies right now. I'm just going to sit in this shit and breathe for a minute.
Yeah. I think that that's
And then
the...
call my cleaning lady because I'm not cleaning this up.
Because someone shit all over my apartment. I think it was the pantsless guy from Wilshire, but I felt bad for him and I'm codependent, so I brought him back to my place. Of course he was going to shit all over my apartment. I should have seen that coming. I didn't.
I deserve this.
Yeah. I'm a piece of garbage. But like I think that's the... Something else I've changed is that's the key to like solving depression almost like within yourself, right?
Yes.
Where if you're introspective and like when depression hits, not when things are hard, things are always hard,
right?
Things are always sad.
Yep.
But when depression hits is when you're suddenly depressed about the depression, right?
It's yeah.
when
it's you can't not, get out of it.
Yeah. So it's like, oh, this girl sent me a fucking text, like a weird, like formal text, saying she doesn't want to see me anymore. If I'm like, that's a sucky thing, but I'm going to recognize that sucky thing. I'm going to go, you know what? She's not really what I wanted anyway. Let's figure out what I could have done better. Let's figure out what I actually want. Let's do some stuff to like make myself happy. Sit in the sadness. Like, it's not fun.
Yeah.
Rejection
hurts on all ends.
Yeah. But where the depression would hit is if, you know, this little fling thing, suddenly you go, you know, of course she dumped me because like I'm never going to find a girl because I'm a piece
yes.
of shit. And like maybe if I had a better job. Mm-hmm. And then suddenly you find yourself, you know, you realize you have to go. I mean, I've done this where suddenly you go and like you realize you need to go get gas. And you're like, fucking of course I have to go get gas. It's
yes.
like, that's not a big deal. But now you're just depressed because you're living
Everything.
In this story of my life sucks, my life sucks, my life sucks. As opposed to... we were talking about this last night where I was like, if the goal is always to get better, if it's always, how can this make me better?
Yeah. What can I learn from this?
Yeah.
It's about learning what the universe is serving you. Cause you're going to get served shitty meals your whole life.
Yeah.
And you know, it's about being able to sit down and be like, okay, I feel fortunate that I am allowed the luxury of affording a meal. And I don't mean by buying a meal. I mean by being alive.
Oh,
the meal of existence.
Yeah. I mean, or even like a meal. Like
yeah.
When I went from like rich to very poor.
God, your perspective on being able to eat out
when someone
changes tenfold.
I used to be the guy who bought everyone's meal.
Yeah.
And then suddenly someone bought me, like my manager bought me a slice of pizza and I was
like. Was it so delicious?
And I was like, am I going to cry? Yeah. It was so And he is.
Am I going to cry into this pie?
He is so rich.
Third book title
yeah, great.
Gratitude.
I hope everybody's writing this down. He's so rich.
Am I going to cry into this pie?
Yeah. And it meant so much to me.
Yeah. And the perspective only happens on the other side of tragedy.
Yes.
And what you're talking about is being in that depressive moment and changing your narrative. And I think that's the hardest thing for people to change that narrative that takes over the God mic in your mind.
It's
where
so
you're like,
hard,
you're shit.
Yeah.
You deserve this. You're never going to get out of this. There's ways to just turn the dial.
Yeah. Have I asked you, did I ask you this on your show? How
I will not
you...
marry you. Oh God. Okay, this is so awkward. Should I leave? I'm going to leave.
No, stay forever. very proud of that. How do you... I feel like I wanted to ask you this before the
yeah.
podcast ended, but we ran out of time. How do you balance that with like comedy? Because when I first got, so I did Rogan's a year ago
mm-hmm.
When I started doing stand up, but we were talking before the show about how I've like done it and been happy and then like gone away because I'm scared and like I have a lot of baggage and stuff like that. And I really want to get back into it. I'm going to record this album and, you know, go on Joe's like later on in the spring. And I was like, I'm trying to figure out how, because when I first got back to comedy, and LA is better than New York with this for sure. But immediately I was like, well, I guess I got to go back to being depressed and being negative and drinking more.
Right.
And like, I did like fucking like hard drugs for the first time.
You mean to
and,
like get the fodder, like yeah, to be funny?
And then I'm like, what the fuck am I doing? And I started going back to jujitsu and training. But then once I did that, I was like, maybe I should just stay in. I mean, to be honest with you, that's why I love professional wrestling so much, because I'm like, oh, you guys are in shape and hot and jacked, but you're also dorks.
Yeah.
Like, you're also just these sweet nerds. Theater nerds, yeah. Who are we're all pretending to fight each
right.
other.
It is such a nice juxtaposition.
Yeah. And I'm like, is this the compromise? And
it is.
But with comedy, I'm like, I don't know how to
be funny without being miserable.
I don't know how to be fun. I mean, even on Twitter, right? Like, yeah. If I just tweet like about like a movie I liked, and I don't want to be that person again, because that's how I made a living in the beginning. I was the angry attack dog political person. And, you know, and even now I'm like not tweeting about politics for my mental health, but like the things that are getting the most attention are like when I'll make some joke about like some pathetic thing I did with a girl or like something like that. And it's always like the sort of negativity, the self-defeatist stuff.
Right.
And what's made me like this sort of new person who I actually like has been being really positive and healthy and stuff like that. So I don't know how to balance those two worlds.
I see those worlds balancing already, because I think by being vulnerable and explicit with your, you know, shortcomings, we'll call them, respectfully, in relationships, you're being honest about how you feel about what you did.
Right.
And by doing that, you're recognizing the pattern of behavior that you're displaying.
Yeah.
And that coincides with you feeling positive because you're changing, you're evolving.
Well, is it hard though? Like, do you ever find that?
Yeah, like trying to be, I mean.
Because if I'm going to dive back into stand-up, then I'm like, this time I want to be more prepared. I think before, when I first jumped in, I just got really swept away.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's essentially like, fuck, how do I be a good comic?
Well, you are a good comic. So get that out of your brain.
Yeah, sure.
And you're not the guy who was ranting and angry as you were before.
Yeah.
So in order to get, I think, to break through, for me personally, like, you've got to release what it was and be what it is now.
Yeah.
And what it is now will become something different in a year or two. So I think, for me, the only way to really connect with the audience, because that's what it's all about.
Yeah.
It's not about killing. It's not about all the numbers. It's not about how many people follow you on Instagram, the likes, all that shit doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It's about connecting. And the only way for me to connect through this, all this trauma, is to talk about it and how I feel.
Yeah. And
what it's done to me.
Yeah. No, and you're totally right. And it's also like,
being real to your reaction to the experiences that you've been dealt. Like, here's an example. You know, when my dad passed, we were talking about what he would have wanted, like cremation or to be put in a casket.
Yeah.
And my sister's like, well, you know, the casket like runs around $4,000, $5,000. I was like, $4,000?
Yeah.
Dad would be like, babe, let's go take that to the casino. Fuck that.
Yeah.
You can burn me in the backyard with some sticks and have a s'mores party over my ashes. Like, no way are you going to spend $4,000on a casket.
Yeah.
And it's just my reaction in that moment. I'm like, that's something people can connect with.
Right. Yeah.
Just trying to be economic through death.
And this is the most fun I've ever had. Like, I've been talking about my divorce. And like, it's funny. I used to be so, like, when I was, like, self-righteous, like, thought I was Bill Hicks, like, hack police, you know?
Yeah.
And now
a lot of comics do that.
Because I used to, everything I talked about was just like edgy, political, blah, blah, blah. And now I'm just like, do you know how much fun I'm having talking about dating?
Oh, that's great. And also, like, have you ever talked about your divorce on stage before?
I have an opener about it. I've also worked like very hard, even though like we went through like some shit like publicly, like not to say anything like negative, know?
But like, because I'm not 100% familiar with your stand-up, what it was before. So would you say
it was just literally angry,
was it political, ranty,
political, like?
And I think here's just my view on maybe what you should get into, what you're experiencing dating right now, and your vulnerability, and like you doubting yourself, and you wanting to text right when you wake up.
Yeah, right,
what
right,
are
right.
The things, what are the three things Kilstein does to avoid texting? That's the funny shit.
Yeah.
Like, are you, you know, are you snuggling your cat?
I think I actually
are you like, do doing push-ups. That's funny shit.
You're so right. I like tweeted something about that the other day, and it did really well.
And dude, you have to think about your whole trajectory to this point, because what happened in the past is a part of your story now.
Yeah.
You don't have to exist in that moment, but being that ranty, angry dude in the dichotomy of where you are now is such a funny thing to talk about. Like, I, you know, you should even bring up 1 year old jokes.
Right.
And then go into, you know, and now you can't even eat lunch without knowing if someone loves you.
Right.
It's so great.
Do you ever, I feel like with bad habits or with old patterns, so whether it's like the codependency we were talking about in relationships or what you used to do in comedy, it's so interesting because even when you're doing something that you've grown out of, it's still, when you do it, it has that feeling of putting a puzzle piece like exactly where it belongs,
yeah.
Even though it doesn't belong there anymore. So like there are times when what's a good analogy?
Is your
for
cat
you?
Dead?
Talib? Oh no, he's just being a... We're not paying attention.
I just had to check in on him. He's so cute.
Hi, Talib Kitty.
Oh, he just bit you.
Yeah, no. It's,
wow.
He never bites down.
It was like a love bite. Yeah, cat. I can't trust a cat. He's like, oh, he trusts me. Good. Tonight will be the night I suck the last breath out.
And all the other cats scale the wall. but like, do you remember when you first started comedy and you would write a joke and it had like the intonation of one of your heroes, right? So in New York, when I was coming up, everyone wanted to sound like a Tell.
Right.
So if you wrote a joke that had a like, bah, da, 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 you're just like, I guess this is right. It had that puzzle piece feeling, even though it's not right because
right.
It's not you. It's someone else's. I'm kind of feeling the same way now where like the stuff I am like literally like, I've never laughed on stage, but like that makes me laugh and it's been killing the hardest. It's just how these fucking awkward like dating things I've
gotten
into.
It's amazing.
But then I'll like come up with a tweet that's just fucking mean and vile and like against some politician, and I have that – the temptation, we'll call it the temptation of the false puzzle, right?
Right.
Where it's just like, oh, I remember that.
Right. And you're falling back into,
yeah.
It's like muscle memory.
Yes. It's literally
creative
that.
Muscle memory.
And even with like this girl, when I was like texting this morning, I think it was sweet. I stand by that. It worked out very well.
Yeah.
But then like there's this old like,
you got to zap that. You got to Caesar Milan.
If we don't hang out tonight.
Dog collar.
Yes. Yeah.
Zap that.
Because I'm like,
shit.
All right, so if we don't hang out tonight.
What does that mean?
I almost pictured like, am I going to be in Toronto?
And am I going to miss like, an opportunity to us get closer? We're
and
not
then
gonna
she's
going to
meet someone
she's
this
gonna
weekend.
She's going to meet someone else tonight.
Yeah.
I got to hang out with her. And I'm then, buying a ticket.
Yeah. And then that feels – now, the good news is now, as opposed to before, I'm introspective enough to be like, oh, that's bullshit. But I wish that voice was just not even fucking there.
Yeah.
I wish
it
was
should be there.
Dead.
It provides some perspective. The key, I think, is to having that self-awareness of not – hearing the voice like you're saying it.
Yeah.
Hearing the voice like you're like, who the fuck is this dude?
Right.
Get out of here.
Yeah.
Okay, great. It's like that friend that always shows up. You're like, dude, you don't do anything for
you're
me anymore.
Drunk.
No one wants you. You're drunk.
Right.
You're rude. You just pissed in a plant.
Yep.
It's that old
yep.
friend that you can love from afar.
They just
can't be invited over anymore.
We can call them a mental townie.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's just like your old college roommate. You're like, we don't vibe anymore.
Right.
We're not on the same page. We're
yeah.
not even in the same book, bro.
Yeah.
You got to go.
Speaking of that and old patterns where I went to the Comedy Store for the first time just to watch in a long time.
That's great. I love doing that once in a while.
Yeah. And it's funny when you stay – when you purposely stay away from something.
Yeah.
Where like the second like I saw like Marin up there, I was like, oh, I stayed away from this because I knew if I saw this, I would want to do it
because
again.
He has that tone.
Yeah.
It makes you, connects you back to that
yeah.
thing.
Yeah. And, but it was so good. It just, like.
Well, of course, because when you see, I mean, essentially, comedy is art, yeah?
Yeah.
And art is expression.
Yeah.
And art is also borrowing. Because you're inspired to yeah. create something.
Oh, no, sorry. I don't even mean borrowing from him.
No, I'm saying I get – when you watch it, you want to do it.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
every comedian does that.
Yeah.
You're just like, that's funny. I want to do that.
Well, and I think this goes back to this whole like new being positive where, you know, I don't want to be sucked back into the like, I don't want to watch a comic because fuck him.
Right.
And like sitting like in the audience – and seeing it was great. It was like Steve, then Marin, then Santino. It was just like solid
I
guys.
I love Cheeto. I was with him last night.
Dude.
He's so funny.
So
he makes me laugh so hard.
I was, we were DMing yesterday because I wrote him after a set. I've only seen Like, I watched I'm Dying Up Here, which he was great in.
He was so...
What a good actor. Did you see that coming?
I was blown away. I had never seen him act before.
No. I mean, he was...
I've only seen him do his naked videos on his Instagram page.
Yeah, she was incredible.
He's so good, yeah.
But so I saw his Conan's... I feel like I looked him up after that, and then we became, like, Twitter buddies, and I saw, like, his Conan set or something, which was funny.
Yeah.
But, like, fuck. I mean, you know, I used to open for Maron, and, like, he was, like, my first, like, hero guy. But, like... Out of everyone I saw that night, like Santino, I don't know if they just...
There's a connection.
Yeah. And he's
so comfortable in his skin.
He's so comfortable.
That ginger, that, pasty skin.
That is gross, disgusting skin.
That pasty.
But that, what I loved about him is, and what made me want to start doing comedy again almost, is I loved that he, as opposed to Twitter, as opposed to the political world, he didn't give a fuck about what kind of box you want to put
him in. Yes. I love that about him. I know exactly what you're saying.
From like making fun of like the worst of feminism to like blatantly defend it. Yeah. But then like, but then a really progressive bit about the kneeling football players.
Yeah.
And it's like, I come from that political world of like, well, you have to choose. And it's like, nope.
No, you don't. It's like, not polarizing.
He didn't give a shit.
Yeah. You talk, and that goes to me saying, talk about what you feel and what you think matters and what you think is funny.
Well, and that's
and
the thing.
Who gives a fuck?
Because I still have that voice where I'm like, but I have to have a political thing.
No, you don't have nothing.
You know why? Because I fucking hate it. And I don't follow it anymore.
Right.
I'm not going to pretend.
That's not you right now.
No. I did a joke when I first started stand up. I did a show with Stanhope. And
I love him.
Oh, he's the best.
God, he's so good.
He's so good. And he's like a literal poet.
He really is.
Like the writing, his word selection.
It's ridiculous.
And, I did an old political joke, which was like a closer. I mean, it was like a bring the house down closer.
Yeah.
And it did fine. Because even a drunk audience in Phoenix, they just know if you
don't
give
a shit. They know when you're not connected.
Yeah.
Dude, people, it's energy.
But how fascinating is that?
It's fascinating. You know what? Honestly, when you walk out.
By the way,
you've
said energy so much, I'm like, you're going to like her. I can probably tell you what she is.
I'm all about energy. It's my thing. Like, energy is everything. I'm very sensitive to it. And, you know, I think an audience, when you step out on stage, I think they know within 30 seconds what they feel about you.
Yeah.
By how you walk out and grab that microphone.
I mean, I've judged people like that too.
Oh, yeah.
Where I've been like, oh, this is...
You're like, oof. And you know, like the thing with, I get it, like sitting and watching comics where you're just like, ooh, you're self-loathing and you're like hating on them in your mind. We all have that voice. But I think like what I'm starting to do is finding something about it that I'm like, oh, that's, that. I like how they did that.
Yeah.
And that's really interesting. Like forcing myself to find
something about it. You know who I had with that? Who is the girl from SNL? Latina Melissa.
Via Senor.
Yes.
So talented.
So I never saw her before. And you can tell she has more of like a character background than a stand-up background. But fuck, man. And like, again, like 19-year-old me would be using the comic. He's a fucking actor.
And she's so cute and vulnerable.
That's what I loved about
her.
The vulnerability mixed with that.
Oh.
Like when she like tried something and like it didn't work and she like so thought it was going to work. It was like such a wonderful. But she had some jokes that were so goddamn funny. But like,
I love her vulnerability.
Yeah. But like, you're right. Like finding that thing. And I've actually, I've just been enjoying comedy again.
Yeah, that's great.
But I'm still, I feel like teetering to the point where if like a bunch of the cool kid comics were like, hey, let's go over here and shit on this guy. I'd be like, yeah.
Fuck that.
Because like me, you know what I mean?
No,
or like,
don't.
Are you doing cocaine? All right.
Well, then
like,
yes.
Yeah.
That's the only reason to hang out with them.
We're with the mean. Guys, if there's one thing you learn from this podcast, the mean people always have coke. Always.
They do.
Find the meanest person in there.
You're right.
They will give you cocaine.
You're right.
Is that true?
Yeah.
And I've done cocaine once.
I've never done it.
But it's don't.
Yeah. Can you imagine me? I would shoot through your sliding glass door right now. I would take the cat and I would find pantless
Paul.
You
would just like fly to Krypton like right away. Just like shoo.
Is it a meteor? No, it's Peluso on coke.
Yeah. I did it once and I was like, recently, when I said, like, I got back into comedy and I was with, like, my rock star buddy, and he was like, and I was like, oh, this is either where I stop doing this or become addicted to cocaine forever.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And that's, most people don't have that.
No. And he asked, he's like, do you want more? And I was like, nope. I was like, did it once.
How long ago was that?
6 months ago.
That's, dude, you're already on the pivot.
Yeah.
You're doing great.
Yeah.
And that's, I think we didn't pod 6 months ago. How long ago? A couple months? A few months? Definitely.
Dude, it was a while.
Probably about 6 months ago.
It was a while. Yeah,
and you were, your needle was starting to be like, boop, boop, just changing.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Well, you know what it was, too? It's just like finding something you love.
It is.
We're like...
And that makes you feel good about yourself.
Yeah, and that's... And I started it with fucking pro wrestling because I was like, this is what I wanted to do as a kid. And I was like, worst comes to worst, it's gonna...
break my bones and I'm going to turn into Mickey Rourke.
Yes. And my daughter will never forgive me. No, worst comes to worst, it's doing a bunch of scary things that I never thought I could do.
Yeah.
It's...
That's a good one.
Knowing I can do these things. It's,
doing scary shit.
Yeah, from like the silly or acting to obviously like the pain.
Things that make you're not on steady ground.
So I am so afraid of heights, I can't even go on a step stool.
Oh, fuck.
Yesterday, I just posted this on my Instagram today. Yesterday, I went to this, I got like jumped up to the advanced class by like this crazy fluke with this WWE guy who I actually really admire. He trained Ronda Rousey to get into WWE. And... we were doing a thing where we were in the ring. Well, they were all supposed to do it. And you launch yourself off the top rope out of the ring and, like, crossbody on someone. And I've never – I'm very new. And this is something that, like, you know.
So they're just, like, die.
Yeah.
They're, like
– that's what I – just
voluntarily
go, now we go
– leap to
now we
death.
Die. Yeah, now we all die together. And it was this fucking moment where I would have said no. I would have left. Like, old me. Would have whatever. But, like, childhood me loved wrestling so much that I was like, am I going to do this? Don't climb on a step stool. And it was this beautiful moment, too, where the scariest looking guy in there, I'll show you the picture I posted, like, no shirt, dreads, like, so fucking big. Me and him became kind of homies, like, right away. And immediately, he saw how scared I was, and he volunteered and, like, stepped right in front of the ring. And he's like, I got you, dude. And I was just like, yeah, I'm going to leap into this guy's arms.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And, like... and literally just that, like, that connection, right? Like, that energy of, like, he knew
he's
what
got
I was
me.
Feeling.
Yep, and he's
and
got
he
me.
Knew that, like, he's the only person.
Yep.
It wasn't that he was big. Like, I needed a big guy, obviously, because I was so scared to, like, fly off. And I needed somebody to catch me if I fucked up. And I nailed it, by the way.
Is he your best friend now?
But, I mean, it was this moment where I was just, like, and then afterwards, he was like, yeah, man, I got your back.
That's
and I was just
awesome.
Like,
how did it feel flying?
Incredible.
Right?
Fucking incredible.
Did you laugh?
Oh, I like hit the mat, like I hit the ground like three times. It was just like everyone was clapping because like it's like the most supportive thing in the world. And so all of those things in a weird way, doing that and doing all these scary things is making me realize that the reason I wasn't going back to comedy is because I was scared.
Fear.
I was scared of like backlash. I was scared of whatever. And then when I went to the store the other night, just saw all those comics and like I was like, right.
Yeah.
I like this.
There's an amazing thing on the other side of fear once you get through it. Mm-hmm. And you realize it's all opportunity.
Yeah.
It really is. It opens up so many doors for you internally. And then you're like, fuck everyone.
Yeah. Do you have something now that you're like timid about or that you're like low key thinking about that you want to do? Or are you kind of like on your right course right now and you just want to like grow it?
I'm definitely feel like I'm on the right course. I think for me, because I just did a USO tour, that was challenging in my mind.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to like perform to a caliber for our military. You know, these like 18-year-olds.
Right.
They have this great responsibility that are fighting a real fight for us to be able to sit here and podcast. Yeah.
When I was 18 years old, I was like stoned in a tree in like New Jersey. Like, I was just like...
And these 18-year-olds are getting stoned in a tree in Iraq.
Yeah. My biggest thing was I'm like, oh boy, how am I going to steal enough money to see fish? Like that was literally my biggest problem.
These kids are dodging bombs so that you and I can go jogging in the Runyon Canyon.
Which, by the way, that's totally what I did today is I jogged through all the mansions by here being like, I'm going to get here one day.
Yeah, I say that same thing to myself.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just, you know, so that's the one thing I'm like in my mind – scared about, excited, but it's definitely a challenge because they want me to do another one.
Sick.
And it's family friendly. I'm not a family friendly comic on paper at all. And my performance.
I'm supposed to do a 15 minute set at the Ice House and they're like PG. And I'm like, cool, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah, what does it even mean? Like, PG? I'm not Disney.
No.
I'm Dickney.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I like to be free, but you know, there's something beautiful in restraint. There's something beautiful in also not just pivoting your past trauma, but pivoting your performance. Kind of like what you're doing now, embarking on being a stand up and going into stand up again, is using all those skills you've accumulated to this point for myself, finding a way to manipulate what I've learned thus far in focusing on a different part of my brain to bring a cleaner version of what I've done. It's so hard.
I'm really glad you brought that up because I had this realization the other day. So I actually did 2 weeks of stand-up in Sydney like about a month ago.
Wow.
And it was started off kind of rocky.
Right. Rocky. Would you say crocky?
I would say crocky. I guess I would.
Okay, I'll stop.
No. Keep going. Let's do this for the rest of them. We have literally 5 minutes left. Let's leave everyone knowing you as this person that you've...
Move over, Melissa Villasenor. There's a new character in town.
That was just like slowly dying machine. So I was the sets I had that were rough were in these like kind of bigger showcase sets, and even though I'm not political anymore, it was just, my shit's filthy,
right.
And I had this moment at the store where I realized, and so when I had a bad show, I was just like, fuck this.
Yeah.
And I just like left and didn't want to be part of it. And then was like, I'm going to be a writer. So it doesn't matter. Or yep. I'm going to do this. Like, I'm not going to be a comic. So I'm just here for money.
Right.
And then I realized when I wanted to go back to stand up. So after I went to the store the other night, I was like, I want to go back. But I was like, I mean, my good sets were some of the best sets of my life.
Right.
And then the bad ones were just like, you know, I have a higher standard for myself
now. yeah.
But like, you know how like a six feels. Like,
yeah.
You're like still sweating. And,
yeah.
And
it lingers.
Yeah. So I was like, I'm going to go back to stand up. But then I was like, but all of my shows weren't great. And then I was like, maybe I'm not right. Maybe I am too dirty. And then I just had this moment. I'm like, or idiot. Maybe you just have to work a little harder.
Yes.
And get excited yes. about the process and get excited about like listening to the tape and editing the jokes.
Challenging yourself.
Yeah, and that's kind of where you're at right now, where you could have gone like, I can't work clean. Or you could be like, this is going to be hard.
Yeah.
And I'm
how can I do it?
Because that's how good of a comic you are, that it's like you're just going to fucking sit there with pen and paper yep. and you're going to switch words around until it works.
Yep.
And to be excited about the
yes.
work. I literally emailed myself to be excited about writing, to be excited about editing, as opposed to a joke doesn't work and I just go, bah. Now, you know, since I'm restarting, I don't have the stage time that some people have.
Right.
So I'm like, sure, if I was going up at the store
you
every night,
some...
I could go up with my fucking notebook
yeah,
and whatever.
Give yourself some leniency. Give yourself some room.
Yeah.
You can't be hard on yourself right now. You just got to go out and do it.
That's the thing.
Go out and do it. Put the work in.
Yep.
When, you know, from the page to the stage.
Right, perform. So you look, you have to go. What do you want to
do? I'm leaving you right now. How does it make you feel?
It's pretty empty inside. I guess you'd be my...
God, I'm terrible.
I have to text my wife.
You can check out my Sharp Tongue podcast that you've been a guest on.
I have. I loved it.
It's fun.
Yeah.
I like doing it. You and I have a very good podcast rapport.
I was going to say.
We should just podcast.
That's what I was going to say. I was going to say that, but I'm like.
You didn't want to be
stopped
needy.
Myself. Yeah. It was literally, this was such a
You're
good
like,
time.
This is
I was
too
like,
soon.
I was like, why don't we have a show together? Let's just have a show together in Canada. How about that? Not here. In Canada, me and you
yes,
have a podcast.
We'll have
and
our
I'm married.
Codependent yeah, yeah, yeah. podcast.
Our husband and wife will be there.
Code to podcast.
We should do that. We should have Code to podcast. Even if it's once a month.
We really, that could
right,
be.
Let's actually talk
Okay,
about
we'll
this.
Talk about that.
All right, great.
Also, Weeds Day every Wednesday on Instagram and Facebook Live.
Your Instagram is so big.
I enjoy it. I used to hate social media, but now I find ways to enjoy it. And like, I like Weeds Day because I just sit in my living room or wherever I am.
You're so happy.
And I raise money for Alzheimer's.
It's the fucking best.
Either Hilarity for Charity or Endalts, which is Alzheimer's Association.
Yeah.
Raise money while I'm puffing and just answering questions and chilling with
it's
my friends
best.
And fans.
It's
my
amazing.
Mom tunes
yeah.
in.
Oh,
she
that's
answers
amazing.
Questions.
God damn my family to hell.
I'll have my mom tune in. She'll listen to your podcast.
Aww. Yeah. Okay, cool.
And she'll get boxed wine drunk and yell at your
yes,
mom.
Yes, that'd be great.
And then just Jessie May on all platforms.
All right,
Jessie
cool.
May Peluso.
Yeah, your Instagram is so... I still lead people to Twitter because they need validation and I'm verified on Twitter.
At
and have
Queefy
a bunch of followers.
May.
Yeah. Okay, that's you.
Queefy May is me.
So ridiculous.
It really is.
All right. I love you with all my heart.
I love you.
Bye.
I'm leaving.